Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Today, we're gonna tackle the emotional stuff that is in your storage room, that is in these boxes. And this podcast is going to be a little bit different than how I've done them in the past. I'm going to share a couple of reader emails and talk to you just about my own feelings about this whole notion. You know, as we live in a Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook world, there is this understated need we have, or this new desire we have for perfection. And I've talked about progress over perfection and how I'm not a perfectionist. But on Instagram today, in my Insta story, which you can't see because they only last 24 hours. So if you weren't following me on Instagram, you won't be able to see this post. But I basically went on and I said, I feel like such a fraud. I feel like such an imposter. So if you're in the hot mess room challenge and you're watching those, you know, anywhere from 30-second to 5-minute clips that I give you each day to kind of motivate you and inspire you and get you to take the next step forward in getting your hot mess room organized, you know, I preach progress over perfection. I preach done is better than perfect. I live those things. But when I go to record a video to put out in an email that I know thousands of people will watch, and I'm showing you functional organizing, it's not pretty. Like, it's not ugly, but it's not pretty. It's not something you're going to share and go, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Look at how she did this. No, it's just functional. Like, it just works. So first of all, I want to address the fact that I'm not on Facebook as much as I used to be. First of all, I'm not on social media hardly at all. But I'm over on Instagram. And why am I on Instagram instead of Facebook? Facebook has gotten so complicated for me. I don't know why. So I have a business page, I have a personal account, I have the Facebook groups. So if I'm going to record something for you guys, where do I put it? And I'll just tell you, every single time I put it in the Organized 365 Facebook group. Almost always it goes in the group. And if I put it on the page, I share it over to the group. So if you're in the Organized 365 Facebook group, anything that I put on Facebook, you usually are going to get. I do nothing on my personal page. And it's pointless to put anything on your business page because Facebook hurts you for it. So whatever. So I usually put it in the group. So if you're not in the Organized 365 free Facebook group, just go to organize365.com/Facebook. What I love about the group is that you guys help each other, you post your real-time successes, everything is very organized in the group, it's easy to be in there, we have plenty of them. All the admins from Organize 365, like the Do My Email Inbox, are also in the Facebook group, so we can easily get to any question you have. I love when you post your questions or your successes over there, because Stephanie or Michelle or Pat or Emily or I will make a comment and we love to see what you're doing and we love sharing that with the community. But what I'm sharing on Instagram are what are called Insta stories. And so Insta stories are like little 10 to 15 second audio clips. So literally like last Wednesday, the first Wednesday of the month, the first Wednesday of every month, the tornado sirens get tested and my dog howls along with the siren. So I recorded it and put it on an Insta story. Then later that night, I made chicken quesadillas, which were awesome by Eat at Home Cooks. Oh my gosh, they were so good. They were pesto something, chicken, whatever. I was the only one that ate it. Put it on Instagram. Look, I actually cooked something and nobody's eating with me. Again, this is not something that needs to be saved forever on Facebook. I mean, this is just like a quick Insta story, a snippet, a sneak into my life. Now, you don't have to be on Instagram to see these Insta stories. If you're on Facebook and you look up at the top, there are all these little faces and sometimes they have rainbow rings around them. So if you follow me, I don't know if you follow the Organized 365 page. I don't know what you have to follow on Facebook in order to see me at the top with a little ring around it on Facebook. You can actually see my Insta stories on Facebook. So you don't have to join Instagram if you don't want to. But if you want to join Instagram and follow me, it's organize365.com/Instagram. And I am finding that, you know, I'm sitting in the car and I just get like this little burst of brilliance or this moment I want to be vulnerable with you. And I just share a quick, you know, maybe it's a 15 second video, maybe sometimes it's a 2 minute video about what I'm thinking and what I'm doing in my everyday life. It's kind of odd. So I follow Christy Wright of Business Boutique. She works with Dave Ramsey. She has no idea who I am. Anyway, I follow her. She got a dog. She flew all the way to get the dog. There's a whole Insta story about it. It's gone now, but it was really interesting. So anyway, she bought these fish for her kids. She has really little kids, like 2 and 4 or something. She bought them these 4 fish. I told Greg they were Tetris. He watched the video with me. He says, Lisa, those are Mollies. Anyway, her fish kept having babies. And I've been watching her Insta stories and it's entertaining. So on one day, on the same day I made the quesadillas and nobody ate my quesadillas, she decided to return all of her fish. Like the mom had babies again. So she goes, I have the 4 original fish. First of all, the 4 original fish died. She had to go buy 4 new fish. Then of the 4 new fish, 1 was pregnant. So then they had to get a breeding cage. So then the breeding cage, then they had babies, which were in the breeding cage. Then another fish started having babies. And as I'm making Greg watch this Insta story, he's like, of course, Mollies have babies all the time because he knows all about fish. So she freaked out on her Insta story. She's like, look, I am not a fish breeder. I've got toddler fish. I have baby fish. I have regular fish. All the fish are eating all of the fish. They're going back. They're going back to the store. You watch her box up all of her fish, take them back to the store. You see them back at the store. And then you see her on her way home with new fish, which I showed Greg. I can't remember what they are, but he knew. I loved it. I loved watching the whole story. I loved watching the whole story of her going to get her dog. She flew to get her dog with her mom, brought back the dog. Dog sleeps at her feet. I love watching it. There's no point to this. There is no point to Insta stories at all. But it's just fun to watch her life. She has no idea who I am. And I'm totally watching all about her fish and her new dog. So my husband watches the Insta story with me, which I think is hilarious. And I'm happy to watch again. He's like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. You should know my husband is one of the few people who does not have a Facebook account. Anyways, he didn't understand Insta stories. Maybe you're not even listening to the podcast anymore. But if any of this remotely sounded interesting to you at all, that is Insta stories. That is what I'm doing. Organize365.com/Instagram is where you could follow me on Insta stories. I'll be honest, Mondays, Tuesdays, some of Wednesdays, I might post nothing because those are my heaviest work days. But then on the weekend, I post the most random stuff. You may think it's entertaining. You may not. But there are some people I follow on Instagram and I really like it. So that's Instagram. So anyway, on Instagram, I was talking about how I feel like a fraud because I'm recording these videos of my craft storage areas and they're first of all, they're not even really organized. They're in the process of being organized because I'm moving through getting rid of almost all my crafts, basically, because Organize 365 is my passion now. I don't need all this other stuff. So I literally have all these different places. If you're in the Hot Mess Room Challenge, you've already been watching them. If you're not, just go to organize365.com/HMR for Hot Mess Room. You'll get this free 28-day program, videos, printables, ebook, like it's crazy, all this free stuff you're going to get. And you'll end up watching these videos. And I want my storage room to look like a Better Homes and Gardens storage room that it would look like at the end of the Hot Mess Room Challenge if you did it and had like, I don't know, 10 hours a day to do it. But it doesn't. It doesn't look that good yet. And it's probably not going to look that good for a while. And in the next podcast, next week, I'm going to share with you why? Why does it take at least 3 times going through a space before we get it anywhere remotely to the point where we'd want to share it with anyone, let alone to Pinterest status? So that's coming next week. This week, we're in the last week of the Hot Mess Room Challenge. Now, the emails that come out along with this podcast when you get to this point are meaty. They have videos in them, but they have a lot of links to past podcasts and past blog posts I've written. I have talked a lot about how do we process through the memories that we are keeping in our storage room. And some of those are going to be posted here in the show notes. You can go straight to those podcasts if you want, if you don't want to be in the Hot Mess Room program. The 3 specifically, they were recorded, I don't know when, but they're in the 80s. So it's 86, 87, and 88. It was a trilogy series I did. And it's where I personally process through these podcasts, through my own childhood memories I was saving, my current things I was saving, and what I save when someone passes away. So last week on the podcast, we talked about crafts. We talked about old crafts you used to love and do that you're not going to do again, current crafts that you are doing and loving but maybe need to pare down on, and future crafts that you might want to do in the future, but you're only going to keep the things that are either really hard to find or really expensive, and everything else you're going to let go. Similarly, these podcasts, 87, 80, 86, 87, and 88, process through, I'm 46, so, you know, a 45-year-old person recording this saying, okay, what do I personally in my 40s want to change, save from the first 20 years of my life? Okay, next podcast, what do I in my mid-40s want to save from around the age of 18 to 45? Like, in the 20s and 30s, we collect some other stuff, and it's just in the storage room, and we own it, and it's our storage room, so why not keep it? Doesn't matter I haven't skied on those skis in 18 years. Doesn't matter that those pantyhose won't even fit over my big toe now. I still own them all. I mean, it's 10 things that I was decluttering that I had owned for 30 years. It's a hilarious podcast, really. Pretty funny story. And then the last one was, okay, my father passed away. My grandparents had passed away. You know, I have memorable items in my storage room. What do you save when a loved one passes? You can't save it all. So what do you save? Why do you save it? How do you save it? Where do you save it? And most of all, how do you keep that memory from the item? That is podcast number 87. So these podcasts have already been recorded. Go listen to those in the 80s, 86, 87, and 88. And I'm going to dive deeper into some other things in this podcast today. I cannot remember for the life of me what podcast I recorded it in, but in one of the podcasts, I talked about the fact that a lot of what I see in my storage room or saw in my storage room before I started getting rid of it is not even the memorable items from people who have passed away, although that is very difficult. It is more the items in my storage room that remind me of the future I thought I would be living. So it's not the people I've lost, and it's not the money I've lost from purchasing these items. It's the future that I thought I would have that I lost, and these items remind me of that. What the heck am I talking about? Well, I never got pregnant. I've never been pregnant. I have two beautiful children, but I've never been pregnant. And I always wanted to be pregnant. So anything I had in my storage room related to infertility, being pregnant, was just a reminder of this dream, this hope that I had one day that never happened. And I had to process through, do I want to be pregnant or do I want to be a mother? And I ultimately decided I wanted to be a mother and went the route of adoption. But I had things in my storage room that reminded me of the choice that I wanted to be pregnant. And at this point, I could say without crying or whatever that I'm totally happy. Apparently, you know, there are some issues I'm not going to have because I wasn't pregnant. So, you know, yay for me. I don't remember how big the babies were. I didn't have to push them out. But for some of you, you didn't get pregnant and you didn't adopt. And there's stuff in that storage room that reminds you of the mother you thought you would be one day and you're not. I know. It's hard. This is the bigger part of progress over perfection. Done is better than perfect. We all have hopes, dreams, ambitions, pictures of our future that don't materialize in the way we thought that they would. It doesn't make it bad. It doesn't make it good. It just makes it is. It just is. It's reality. It's the present. What are the things that are in that storage room that are the mom you thought you'd be? The woman you thought you'd be, the person you thought you'd marry, the job you thought you'd have, the lifestyle you thought you would have, the free time you thought you would have. These are not easy questions. And often we are not holding on to things for the financial reason. We are holding on to things because maybe if we just keep that someday, that dream, that future, that ambition will be. So I want to flip you a little bit, and I want you to really think about what you do have. What do you have? You know, what do you have now that you never thought you would have?
I never thought I'd have a dog.
My sister never thought I'd have a dog. As a matter of fact, at one point we were talking about getting a dog a few years ago, and she said, "You're not allowed to get a dog. I would feel bad for that dog if you got that dog." She thought we couldn't have a dog. She did not think we were dog capable. We have proved her wrong. We're very dog capable. We're capable of spoiling and having a spoiled dog like we're capable of spoiling and having spoiled children. Never in my lifetime thought I would have a dog. But I do have a dog. And I talk about him all the time. All of you remember his name possibly more than my children or my husband's name because Hunter, we always talk about Hunter. He's sitting right here with me talking to you. Never thought I would have a dog. What else do you have that you never thought you would have? I always knew I would be an entrepreneur. I never knew I'd have you listening to me. Oh my gosh, what a blessing. I could tear up right now. I could have never imagined in a million years that I could record something in my bedroom and talk to you as intimately as I do and inspire you to change your life based on your goals, hopes, and dreams. And I may never know your name, but I'm helping you get organized. I am teaching while being able to take care of my kids and my dog and my house and my husband. Without having to go to a school, I am teaching. I'm teaching you. I'm using my teaching gifts in a way I never dreamed, hoped, or imagined I could. But I can't even tell you how hard it was to get rid of all those teaching supplies. If you don't know a teacher, you should know this. We have lots of stuff. And we see potential and possibility in every single thing. And if it's paper, we laminate it so it'll live forever. So everything is laminated, organized, categorized. And if we're in teaching long enough, we have it in labeled bins. And we have it so tightly packed in there. There is so much stuff in those labeled bins. And we have whole rooms full of stuff. We have so much stuff. Giving up on my dream of owning a corporate daycare center, of owning my own daycare center, of being a teacher with all of the themes done and all of the printables and all of the things was a process. It took me years to let my teaching license lapse, to then let my supplies go until I was down to one bookshelf. I had all my preschool supplies. So I've taught everything from four-year-old preschool through eighth grade algebra. I've taught every single grade. And I was able to get rid of a lot of that, but it was really hard for me to get rid of my thematic units that I had for preschool. And in these thematic units, they were just in $1 colored paper file folder, regular folders, actually. And inside of there would be my lesson plans and the mailbox. Do you guys get them? If you're a teacher, do you get the mailbox? It came out every other month. You got six a year. It was called Mailbox. And it had like lesson plans in it and different stuff like that. And then I'd have lacing cards and laminated signs that would go on the different centers and all of these things. And I had them in these folders. And they were probably an inch thick. And I had 40 of them. And they used to go with 40 coordinating tubs of stuff that went with each of the units. I'd gotten rid of the stuff, but I couldn't get rid of the intellectual property that would have been the 40 units that I would have taught in the daycare center I thought that maybe one day I would own. That's 42. I hadn't taught preschool in 18 years. And, you know, for a while there, I was holding on to it because, you know, I had children, and so maybe I would teach them those preschool lessons at home. By the way, that never happened. Or maybe I would homeschool other people's children. That was originally what I wanted to do when I was creative memories. We bought this house because it had a walkout basement. And because it had a walkout basement, it was fire code. I could run a private kindergarten in my basement if I wanted to. So I still had all of these. And I don't have to have a teacher certificate to do that. So I could still do that. So here I am, 42. I've gone through my storage room and I have a bookshelf, two whole shelves full of all of these thematic units and two shelves full of binders of like my lesson plans. Oh my gosh, I can't remember. I forgot about all this. My lesson plans, all 46 jobs that I applied for the year I graduated from college. Remember, I'm 42 when we're looking at this. Every single job application I had copies of. I had my portfolio that I made out of college that I used to secure my very first teaching job. I don't own any of this anymore. I've gotten rid of all of it. And I don't feel guilty about it. Let me tell you where those thematic units went. This was, I don't know, 7 years ago, I guess. 5 years ago. Whatever. 2013. I put them on Craigslist, I think. I think I charged like $4 per unit or something like that. Well, there was this daycare center owner in Kentucky who wanted to buy them all. And she was going to drive up and get them. But we were driving by her daycare center on our way to Florida that year. So we actually drove them to her. She bought like 20 of them and I sold 10 more. And I think I threw the last six away or something like that. So all of that curriculum, that intellectual property that I had stored and saved is actually being used in a daycare center, which is super cool. It's just not my daycare center. You're my teaching ground. And I get to create all new intellectual property into binders and printables and all this fun stuff to empower women all over the world to take back their house so that they can live out to do whatever they're uniquely created to do. That is the kind of stuff that is in our storage rooms right now, that our past dreams and hopes and ambitions and future that like, well, maybe someday. No, never. I'm never going to have a group of 10-year-olds or of 10 4-year-olds here that I need to come up with 40 weeks of thematic instruction for them. Never. That is never going to be my future. It was an awesome part of my past. I enjoyed every minute of it. And now some daycare center in Kentucky, all of those teachers are enjoying all of that as well. So what is it in your house that you want to let go of? Now, I have two stories to read you, two emails that were submitted to me that I want to add to this point. The first one's from Lynn. She says, "You and your team have so many great ideas. I would like to share one of mine with you." First of all, Lynn, thank you. I'm so excited about the team. At the national convention this year, you will get to meet almost everyone on the team. And it really is, ever since hiring the content team back in November, I have been able to make so much more progress with the printables and the ideas and things I want to get out to the market for organizing. And just to be honest, it's so much better than it was when it was just me. Like Amy and Mary... They're brilliant. These ladies are brilliant. The stuff that's coming is amazing, and I could never have done it. So yes, it's definitely me and a team now. Lynn says, "After decluttering and listening to your podcast, I was left with a ton of really nice stuff, most still in its packaging, that I didn't want to go to the trouble of selling, yet I didn't want to give it away. Thinking that I would like to offer it to friends and neighbors, but I didn't want to go through the trouble of pricing it all and inviting them over to come pay me for my slightly used stuff. I decided to clear out a space in my basement for a free yard sale. However, the catch was they were asked to make a contribution to a very well-run local charity. I offered no holds, no advance showing, and the donation jar was down in the basement with the stuff while I was upstairs offering wine in the kitchen. After 2 hours, most of my stuff was gone and I had $845 to donate to a local charity. I felt good and my basement was empty. Just a thought for those people stuck in the I don't want to give it away and I don't have time for a yard sale citation. Here is the other alternative. And P.S. I also posted a sign on my front door that said, if you will be offended if we are giving away something that was a gift from you, come no further. We appreciate the gift, but we are ready to share it with others." Wow, that is so cool. I mean, that is so cool. And what I love is she wasn't even down there with the stuff. She wasn't even haggling or anything. She was literally having wine and a party with her friends upstairs while people were carrying all of her stuff out of the basement. Oh, this could be the new wine sale. Like, we don't need to have garage sales. Let's just have wine parties where people take stuff and give money to charity. I am all in on that program. The other email is from Steph, and this is another mindset shift that I kind of had understood, but not until she articulated it to me. "Hi, Lisa. You may have already written about this or spoke about this, so please forgive me. I've only been listening to your podcast for 6 months or so." No, I have not talked about this yet. "I think I understand another reason why we don't want to inherit our parents' stuff. Families are smaller. Parents are having less children. Therefore, we don't battle with siblings for nostalgic mementos as generations did in the past." Mind blown. Yes. When my sister and I were going through our family home, we decided what we wanted out of that home. There was so much stuff. But when both of my parents were doing the same with their parents, my father was one of six children and my mom was one of five. So the stuff got divided among a lot more people and the people lived a lot longer. So when my mom was going through her mom's stuff last year, my grandmother was 92 when she had passed away and my grandfather was 103. And my grandfather's stuff didn't get disseminated until my grandmother passed away. So at that point, when they were going through a very, very small retirement apartment full of stuff, it was going to five children. Four. One had passed away. So four, all of whom were married and all of whom had two children. Two children? Doing math real quick. Yes. So there are eight grandchildren. And we... some of us were married also. Joey and Abby are great-grandchildren. And a couple more great-grandchildren were being ready to be born or had just been born. So there were all those people to divide out my very small retirement community apartment from my grandma. But when my father passed away at 61, it was just Emily and I, and it was literally my family home. Lots more stuff. So Steph says, it's a matter of supply and demand. The demand is lower, therefore the supply is bigger. The value of the mementos and memorabilia is reduced drastically. It's like the economic law of supply and demand. Since we don't have to share stuff with others, it doesn't seem as valuable. I'd love to know what you think about this idea. So, yes, that's another reason why when you're looking in the basement about how much stuff you're going to save, if you only have one child, do them a favor. Don't save everything for your one child. Maybe you didn't have children. It doesn't mean you can't save things for yourself. And enjoy the storage room for what it is. But you don't need to hold on to very much for future generations. A few nice mementos, which goes great with that podcast I told you to listen to about what to save when a loved one passes, episode number 87. Other than when my father passed away, I have chosen one or two items, usually a big item, a furniture item or something like that, to remember that family member by and incorporate into our house. But that's it. That and all the photos. You know I have all the photos. All right, told you it was going to be a little bit of a different podcast today. I really want to help you look at that stuff that we're storing differently. Do we really need it? And also I want to leave you with this note. Give yourself more grace. Now you might be going, all right, I got to get rid of all of this stuff. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you just needed to hear it this time, and the next time we talk about organizing the storage room, you'll be ready to get rid of it, which is what the topic of the next podcast is going to be. Why is it that we need to go through our stuff three or more times in order to get rid of stuff that intellectually we know we need to get rid of it, but physically we just can't get rid of it, and emotionally we can't get rid of it until the third time? Why is that? On the next podcast.